The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. This God that has done all these marvelous things is our God. And tonight, Lord, we are open to you to bless us by the ministry of the word and by the ministry of your spirit. Change us for your glory. In Jesus' name. Are you ready? Sit for a moment. The love and grace that you have shown, so great and I never pay for.
You have given me freedom of charge.
Don't worry, you can sit. Don't worry. It's okay. Many things happen in my head. But tonight, the fire of God will be unleashed in this building tonight. Are you ready for some fire this night? Amen. Before fire, let's hear the word. How many of us were here in the morning? If you're not here in the morning, you've missed the entire race of facts. The whole meeting has dismissed. And I'm serious, though. What's our hope? Your hope is to go back and stream that morning service thoroughly this night. Because I'm a very systematic teacher, you should have known by now. I'm not a careless minister. I'm not someone that just picks things. And I was explaining to the PGTI advanced students, you know, earlier in the year, how I develop my messages. Just like we are preparing a scheme of work for academic use. So I build it up. So if you miss the teaching of reproduction or respiratory system in JS1, and then the teaching of respiratory system again in your SS3, you'll be lost. So I build up like that. That's why when we hold meetings, this is both an instruction and a correction. Okay? You attend the meetings from the very first day. Except there are really circumstances beyond your control. And if there are such circumstances, make sure you follow through. Because, you know, we can all gather here and shout, I'm blessed. But then, when you didn't get what we are sharing, you are not blessed. You might just be excited. And so don't miss meetings. I'm going to just do just a very short stuff tonight. Yes, because I want to pray with you. Okay? But then tomorrow morning again, I will teach for long, like I did. You know, you should have observed when I hold meetings, my morning sessions are plenary sessions, teaching meetings. So night meetings, I try to minister by the Spirit and all of that. And so don't miss the meetings, any of them. They say, sir, should I come in the morning and not come at night? They are around for all the meetings. The Word of God is so important. The Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ is so important. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you been getting blessed? What did you learn in the morning if you are here in the morning? What did you learn? Share with your neighbor what you learned in the morning if you were here. Somebody commented, Jesus, my brain won't blow in the morning. Hallelujah. Was your brain about to blow in the morning? And after his day meeting, I think it was after his sales meeting, I was talking to my wife, and I said, the things I shared yesterday are the things people already know. She said, who told you we already know it? You know, this morning, did you learn something? Was it familiar? It's actually very familiar. It's just the same thing we've been teaching all the while. In clearer terms. Oneness with Christ. Is that not it? The word of God is sweet. And may God give you revelation. And may God give you understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, one thing you must realize is, I'm your pastor, but I'm not a special child of God. You know what I said? I'm a child of God the way you are. So whatever is available to me in God's word is available to you too in God's word. So you can also study and understand. Are you know what I'm saying? I'm very serious with that now. You can actually also study and understand. You know, somebody said, if I read Bible, I don't need to see anything. But that's not actually true. What actually happens is that if you've not been exposed to any kind, a particular kind of light, if light has not been shed over any matter, it will be dark to you when you are reading the Bible. But you observe that once I teach on any subject, if you now begin to study it, you now begin to say, oh, but this has been here all the while. In fact, even you, we now begin to see other things I didn't even mention when I was teaching. So what we just do through teaching is to shine light on a particular subject, so that when you now try to study, it will now be clearer to you. You get the point? Yes. The things I studied, the things I showed in the morning, I studied myself, but I can tell you, it took a teacher to shine light in that direction some years ago. That's what I'm talking about. I now went to open it up and I'll say, oh wow. So this has been here all the while. You know, one thing you must realize is that if you're actually studying and teaching the word of God undiluted, you're not the first person to know those things. You know, there are some revelations that you just catch. You just feel like you've learned everything. Then you pick a book that was written in 1867. And you find a man of God sharing the same revelation with deeper details. As a matter of fact, whenever that happens to you, you should be excited. If you have any revelation that you've not heard from anybody and you never get it from anybody, it is fake. You know what I said? It's not God that gave it to you. You heard nothing. A demon is talking to you. I'm just trying to tell you, one of these angels identified that you are now under the influence of a demon. You are learning something in the word of God that only you know. You are the only, you are the custodian of that knowledge. A familiar spirit is talking to you. And you need not deliverance, but demons have to be cast out of you. Now, this is funny, but I'm being very sincere now. Very, very serious. Because some people get excited and say, this revelation only me. No, that is, something is wrong with you. Even Brother Hagin, he said, even when Lord Jesus will appear to him in a vision and teach him scriptures in a vision, he said he will get up and go and meet some people, some Bible teachers, and present that Jesus taught him to them. And if everybody he meets says he's wrong, he will drop it. Because you cannot be the only, you can't be the only custodian of a certain knowledge. And that's why when we teach also, don't say things like, only my pastor knows these things. If only your pastor knows it, your pastor is fake. I get what I'm saying. So there's nothing I'm teaching here that is a peculiar knowledge given specially to me. I'm not Apostle Paul. That said the dispensation of grace has committed to him. You know, there are some things Paul can say that you cannot say. You are not Paul. Are you not aware? The amazing thing is they're not even any of the apostles. Amen. Say, but as he is, so are we, you are not like them. You know, one of the things I was telling the leaders earlier today, wisdom is the understanding of difference. So that was that to the pastors yesterday, yes. The understanding of difference. To understand that we can all be the same, but we are not all the same. If you understand that difference, then you will not have any problem. It's even, this is not a ministry class. Okay, it's a ministry class, so we can just go that way. Even when I see people come to church and be like, why are they celebrating pastor and the wife like that? Are they the most important people? It's just wisdom. It's understanding of difference. Understand that we are not all the same. I don't get the point. Why did they reserve this seat in front for pastors and ministers while others, they keep them at the back? Are they saying they're more important? No. The thing in church is not about hierarchy as it is about different rules and responsibilities. I get what I'm talking about. So that's the same thing about scriptures too. You should know that the Bible teacher of this day has some limitations that Paul did not have. Why? They were privileged to be part of the foundational apostles. Nobody else has that privilege. In fact, even Paul does have the privilege that Peter has. The Bible tells us, in Revelation, in heaven, there are 12 special seats for the 12 apostles of the Lamb. 12 for those 12 of them. Are you following what I'm talking about? So it's not something to get angry about. That's why it's grace. Are you following what I'm talking about? That same thing where people can say, why is he a lead pastor? Why can't I be a lead pastor? It's just grace. It's what God. And if you jump out and become what God did not send you to become, you get into trouble. Let me say this to you. If you understand how the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ works, if a lead pastor, someone that is called to be a lead pastor, when he's already supposed to be a lead pastor, goes to become an associate pastor, he will struggle in that office. You know what I'm saying?
The same way, if you're meant to be an associate pastor, and you go become a lead pastor, you will struggle in that office. That one is even more dangerous. Demons will find you quicker. Are you getting points? There is an exposure. Hear what I'm going to say. There's an exposure that is particular to certain offices. And because God knows that exposure is particular to them, are you following? He will give them the protection that they need at that level. That's why I want to say to you, ministry is not PR. See, if you want to be very famous, if I want to be famous, I can stage a camera in my house and be doing video every day, posting every day. Look at the point. If I attain a certain level of publicity that I don't need at this level of my calling, it will destroy my calling instead of building it up. This is why I don't want to say many things, because there are things I can only tell myself. But this is why you see many ministers run into some kind of troubles, some health conditions, some even death, because they are too exposed for their level in ministry. That's why social media has not helped the church so much as it has destroyed it. I get the point. I know, it's today in our generation, you can be a pastor of 5 people and online and pastor 20,000 people on Facebook. A lot of them will think you are something. And most times that exposure is not good enough for you. Do you know if all the Lord wants you to do is to reach your community and you use PR and expose yourself to the whole of Africa, you are in trouble. Let me teach you something in ministry. I've not entered my message, but let me teach you something in ministry. Allow God lift you in ministry. Follow His process. Allow God lift you. You want to be popular? Allow God make you famous. Allow God. Let me ask you a question. You see, Pastor Iadepoye, you see Bishop Iadepoye, you see all these people that have all this fame, that attend that kind of fame before social media. No posting on Facebook, nothing. Just serving the Lord, and the Lord introduce you. This is also what is happening to many music ministers today. Because there is so much quest to be popular, you see people running all over the place doing a lot of things, you will get the fame. But then, you are exposed to so much attacks that you are not ready for. And most importantly, you are outside the will of God for your life. Are you get what I'm saying? You must understand what led me to that. Grace. There is dispensation of grace for different people. There are some things you can never become in life, even if you start crying, because it's not meant for you. That's why there are some people you should honor. I keep saying this forever. I talk about Archbishop Benson Idahosa, not because he was faultless. No. But because of what he represents to the church in Nigeria. And what the Lord used him to do. No other person stands where Archbishop stood in this country. No other person. And it's not because he was special. God just picked him for that. I have to celebrate that. Are you what I'm talking about? I have to celebrate that. There are people that the Lord used to chart some kind of course. Look at Martin Luther, for instance. You are seeing light in Martin Luther's light. See what I said? You are seeing light inside his light. That's one of the biggest ministry examples that this generation needs. Even though he's late, is Kenneth E. Hagin. That's one of the biggest ministry examples. And talking about this fame thing I'm talking about, do you know that Brother Hagin, as we call him, never came to Nigeria? He came to Africa, I think, only once in his lifetime. I think that was to South Africa. He didn't leave the United States many times. No, he was just there. Because God said, stay in Tulsa. And that was all. And he stayed there. In fact, the day Rema was inaugurated in Nigeria, when the sun came, that's Reverend Kenneth Tobley again. He was literally crying. The way people were celebrating Brother Hagin and talking about him, he said, my dad did not even know he was this important. He said it with his own mouth. He said, my father never knew he was this important to all of you. Because all he was doing was just doing God's will. He didn't know that all over the world, there were already vibrations all over the world. I get what I'm saying. Ministry is not doing PR. Are you getting the point? Now, I'm not against media. We have a media team here, and I post videos from time to time. Amen. I do, actually. So nothing wrong with that. But just make sure that you're doing what God has asked you to do at this point. For instance, even if we have the money now, and the Lord has not told us to go on TBN, we are not going to do that. If you go there, people that don't need to know you now, we know you too early. I know what I'm saying. You have to realize ministry is times and seasons. I don't know. I think what I'm doing this evening is someone's expectation that I'm actually answering now. Just felt the Holy Ghost lead me in that direction. Ministry is times and seasons. It has nothing to do with, you know, what whoever did, what another person did, and all that, you know. And that's why one of the things, I was talking to one of my friends that came around for a wedding, and he was talking about the certain minister. And the guy was complaining. I told him something. I said, the major thing that young man lacks in ministry is patience. And I told him, I said, ministry is not somewhere you can succeed genuinely without patience. You can do it in business. You can do it in ministry. I get the point. See, you have to learn how to be patient, how to follow. And what is patience? Patience is not crossing your legs saying, let God do his work. No. Patience is doing whatever God wants you to do now, how he wants you to do it now. That's patience. I get what I'm saying. Yeah. If God says, I just want you to do this, just do it. That's why, you know, I said it, you know, it was my dad that was talking to us some time ago. I was talking to us about writing books. He said there are many ministers that are writing books that should not be writing books now. He told us. He said many ministers are writing books that should not be writing books now. And I totally agree with him. And listen, this is not about age. Someone can have that liberty from God to begin to write books when he's 18. Our person may not be allowed to write any book till he's 35. I get what I'm talking about. That's why sometimes you write books that nobody's reading. Because it's not time. And I'll share it to your family members. Say, read this book and tell me what you think. or you make... You know, I've seen a lot of things happen in ministry. And sometimes, you see, all I'm trying to say is, yes, there can be struggle in ministry. But most times, some struggles we see in ministry is because you are out of divine timing. Do you know, I've been saying this, do you know that there is a part of my calling, a part of this platform of Grace Ministry Church now, that has global evangelization in it? Are you aware? I mean, that has going to cruise stadiums to do cruises. Let me say that all the time, right? There is a part of that calling. I mean, traveling around the world, state to state, nation to nation, but it's not your time. It's not even about money. It's not your time. If you try to jump into it now, it will be a struggle. Now, even if we succeed doing it, we would have ignored the work at home. So you just find out all over the place, sinners are getting saved, the church is getting stunted. That is timing. I get the point. My pastor is traveling around the world. He wasn't at our wedding because he's not even in the country now. He's been away from the church. I think for like 2 months now. He's going to be away for at least 2-3 months. Now, that's timing in ministry. I can't do it. At this point. Even if doors open and they say come to Philippines, 6 months mission, I won't go. If I go and come back, you are no longer existing. But actually he told us that many years ago in his ministry, many years ago as a Christian, when he was even said that God told him that the time is going to come in his ministry, that he will be traveling out of the country and staying months outside the country. He even forgot it. Now, that's many years ago. So it's the time for it now. Church is growing in Lagos, adding in tens and hundreds every month. Yet the man is out. It's timing. I feel what I'm saying. I don't know who needs what I'm sharing with you today, but it should help you. Do not be faster than God. Follow timing. Don't try to be what God did not ask you to be. Don't try to do faster than what he has. Just do whatever he is asking you to do and just go your way. And you don't copy anybody. You just say, I heard Reverend Peter traveled out of the country and for 3 months. Why can't I do it? Lord, open doors for me. There are some doors that are open that are not God's open doors. Not every open door is God's open door. Let me even say to you, there's a time in your ministry where you are not allowed to accept invitations from anybody. I'm just saying this. That's why I'll go to music ministers again. They need to hear what I'm saying. There's a time that they should invite you to sing instead of my say, I'm not going because it's not yet my time. Say, sir, opportunity comes but once. That's not true. It's only the devil's opportunity that comes but once. God's opportunities will come again and again. He's a God of multiple chances. So if it is him that brought it, you know, it's better. Oh, come on, church. It's better that you said, I'm not going because I want to be sure it's God, than that you went and found that it's not God. What if something happened to you on the way? What if something happened to you? When you're ready, just entering the study, what if something happens? You say, ah, what am I trying to say? What am I not trying to say? I'm saying, calm down. It's not every, it's just about to come up. He said, they told me to come and sing in the stadium. It may not be time. That's the time. I'm at a time. You know, some of you, you wonder, why don't I see my pastor posting Owerri tonight? We'll be with you in the power of God. Akwa Ibom tomorrow. Why don't I get invitations? I get calls. I turn all down because there is time in the ministry, sir. I'm not trying to rush to anywhere. I love you guys and I'm with you people. And if all God wants me to do, now I'm not being very sincere. If all God wants me to do is to be here talking to you every day, I have so much to say that I don't even want to hear. So what's the point in trying to be that bad? And I'm not saying it because we are now big. It's been me from when we were even 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. Something that we're now born in days, you remember. 3, 4, 5, I'm just content doing what I'm doing. And that's the thing that God should help you with. What led me to that is, I said that nothing we are sharing here is new. All I'm trying to say in essence is, don't overestimate your relative importance. Don't think you are so important than you really are. It's self-delusion. You're deceiving yourself. Amen. What I meant is that, and I told you that whenever you say God gave this revelation only you, the devil is talking. That meant is I hear, I know the devil is talking. Like, for instance, if you're in any meeting, if you're in any meeting where the man of God says, ah, you'll be bigger than Rad Bonky, that's not God talking. I am so sure. He says, because Rad Bonky is too big. Even if God says you'll be bigger than Pastor Dave, it's not God talking. God doesn't talk like that. God doesn't talk in comparison. All those things just tear up hatred, envy, competition in the heart of believers. That's not the word of God. So I've known too much to know that sometimes when people say God is moving, God is not moving at all. They are moving. But make sure you're not the one moving. I say, God, I'm walking up and down. You say, God is walking up and down. You are the one moving. You are the mover. Amen. So I know where I am. I know where I stand. Nothing I'm sharing with you is new. So amazing that God spoke to me alone. And then I have to call all the men in the body of Christ and teach them. And I have to share this story with you. There's one explanation to the scripture I gave, you know, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I will not bow to any, to your gods. You know that story? Read my teaching on that. Where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we will not bow, even if you throw us into the fire. I was trying to tell you that even if there is not saying, even if you throw us in, he's saying, even if, whether you throw us in or not, we will not bow. Just give that in. Did I got that in the Bible? You could see me jumping in my room. I was excited. You know, what happened? I brought a book written by Charles Capps many years ago. You know Charles Capps? And Charles Capps was saying the same thing word for word. If I didn't know better, I would have said the copy from me. Because the man was saying word for word. I said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, actually, if I'm the only person that knows it, then I'm in the wrong. Because it's the same spirit. And as men yield to him, he shows them. And you cannot say, I'm the only person that have yielded to him throughout all the ages. Now, are you? You're not like that. Are you here? So these teachings are not to make, you know, when I teach like this, I like explaining. So I'm not trying to make myself too important or make myself one revelation-driven person who God has spoken to only. I'm saying the things I'm seeing in the world, you can also see them. So what I'm doing with my teaching is to shine light on certain areas so that when you now go there, it will become clearer for you. If I see, let's say amen. So where did we stop in the morning? God wants us to be one with him. And I showed you that a lot and a lot in the Bible, the original plan of God. I can't do a recap because of our time. The original plan of God is that we will come into oneness. In that oneness, we will now be in the image of God. Very simple. So that when God and man, when heaven and earth becomes one, earth will now take on the form of heaven. That's what God meant by let us make man in our own image. That when God and man becomes one, man will now take on the form of God and now be the image of that God. Is it very clear? So that's just what we're trying to explain in the morning. Now, remember what I said in the morning, that when you read Genesis 2, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, do not think that God was just speaking literally. No. All of that, Moses was trying to teach faith in Christ, right? So let's look at Genesis 2 again. Are you ready? Let's start from verse 9. We've looked at this a lot, the tree of life again. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I've explained this yesterday, how that this is not actually literal trees, okay? This, you can call this a belief system that was presented to them. Options. Okay, and the river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from this was part that I taught from this at Zoe last year. Do you remember? I don't think you do. Do you remember? I taught from this at Zoe last year. That was the third night of the meeting. If you can listen, there are many things I said that night you did not actually hear because you were in the spirit. Amen. Rivers went from Eden. Next verse. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good, that is Bedolium and the onyx stone. Next verse. And the name of the second river is Gihon. So the rivers that flowed from Eden. I showed you how that this Eden, of course there is a physical place called Eden, of the way they stayed. But this Eden is a spiritual reality. I remember I explained that to you. And I showed that there were four rivers that went from there to water the whole earth. And I showed you Zoe last year how that is a type of what God wants to do with the church. That from us, rivers will go forth. Do you remember this now? And get into the nations. Okay, continue. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. Now, and this is what I'm going to. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. We'll stay here today. Amen. Are you ready for God's word? To dress it and to keep it. Now, when you read this at first, what it brings to your mind is that Adam was a farmer. Because he was meant to dress the garden and to keep it. That's something I'm going to say that I will explain better tomorrow morning. If you think that what God was telling Adam here was to cut grass in the garden, there is something you are missing out on. I don't know whether this will be too early to say, because I'm going to explain it in details tomorrow morning. Before the fall of man, there was no death on the earth. There was nothing like death. I will show you tomorrow morning. It was the fall of man that brought death. Not even death of man, animals, plants. There was no death. Death, decay, corruption, I'll show that tomorrow, came into existence because man fell. Keep it, don't understand it. That's why you should be here tomorrow morning. So there is no way God will tell Adam, dress and keep. The garden that God made was perfect and beautiful. The Bible tells us. Now, where this gets interesting is if you begin to check the Hebrew words used there. So he told him to do those things. Number one, to dress and to keep. So a better board is needed. Because even this I'm going to write now, they're not going to see it. But I'll write it all the same. Can you see it now? What's that? Abad. That's the Hebrew word for dress. Are you still here? Because what did God mean by? Because I'm trying to show you, when God created man, God gave him a job. And that job, he said, I wanted to dress and keep the garden. But when I began to look at the Hebrew words, even if it's half time, look at it when you get back, it wasn't looking like it. The word keep is shama. So these two words we're going to look at very closely today. So the first word is abad, dress the garden. The second one is shama, keep the garden. The word abad, amazingly, if you check the interpretation, is not to farm. It actually means to serve. It means to serve. It means to worship. It appeared 293 times in Old Testament Hebrew. 293 times. And I can show you about two, three examples where it appeared. In Genesis 15 verse 13. Genesis 15 and verse 13. And verse 13. And he said to Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. That's what appeared. I get the point? And shall serve. So if this word means to cultivate and to farm, is that what God was telling Abraham? In Exodus 3 and verse 12. Exodus 3 and verse 12. Hallelujah. And he said, certainly I'll be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God. That's abad upon this mount. You shall worship upon the mount. You shall get to the mount and you shall serve. When you hear me say, it also means worship. It's not worship as per singing. It is serving. Like when you go to worship a man, you go to serve the man. So you shall serve God upon this mountain. Very interesting. Let me show you a few more. Chapter 4 verse 23 of Exodus. Chapter 4 verse 23. And I say unto thee, let my son go. This is God talking to Pharaoh. That he may serve me. Abad. So I can show you all the 293 usages of this word, especially where Moses used them. It was not referring to agriculture. It was referring to serving. Either serving a man or serving the Lord. Are you still here? Chapter 7 verse 16 of Exodus. Chapter 7 and verse 16. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness, abad. That they may worship me. That they may serve me, abad. Chapter 23 and verse 24 of Exodus. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them. That's abad. Thou shalt not serve them. So it's used, either it's talking about serving man or serving God. Are you still here? It means to serve. Let me show you two more scriptures. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. Let's move away from Moses a little. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart. I get the point. And with a willing mind. So, abad him with a perfect heart. So, you see, all the examples I'm giving you, you wouldn't see cultivate. So, actually, we possibly would have been the ones that have read our mind into that verse. If you had read it in the original Hebrew translation, and you see the Lord say, you shall dress the garden, you should know what he's talking about. He's talking about service. Psalm 100 and verse 2. Psalm 100 and verse 2. Serve, 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 serve. As reason I picked Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Abad. Do you have your Hebrew concordance? Are you checking this? Some people say, what is this pastor just forging this? He's just telling us all this so that he can make his point. So we can check yours too. Amen. To serve. Abad. So that's the word abad. Now he said they have to dress and keep. The word keep is interesting. It's shama. Is actually from the same family of the word abad. It means to guard, to observe, to attend to something. It is used 468 times in Old Testament. When I give you this number of times it was used, you should know I'm not just telling you things. I'm just guessing. I've checked everywhere it was used to the glory of God. Say amen. So it was used 400 and how many? 68 times in Old Testament Hebrew. I show you just three. Genesis 17 verse 9. It means to observe. It means to attend to. Genesis 17
and verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant thereof. That's the word Shema. To keep covenant. So when he said, you see, dress and keep the garden, the keep there is not saying cultivate, farm. I know what I'm talking about. Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in the generation. If you're still here, say amen. Are you following this? So we're going to pray very soon. Do you even believe me? Believers. Thou shalt keep my covenant. Thou shalt shama my covenant. Therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. Verse 10, this is my covenant which ye shall shama, you shall keep between me and you. So you see, Moses used that term to explain keeping of covenant. Are you still here? Genesis 26 and verse 5. Genesis 26 and verse 5. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Genesis 26. Is it 26, 5? Okay, yes. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. That word kept is what Shema. So Abraham observed or attended to my commandments. So it means to attend to. Are you following me, everybody? He attended to, that's the word Shema. My commandments. Let me show you maybe one more. Exodus 12 and verse 17. Exodus 12 and verse 17. Oh, hallelujah. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. That word observe is the word Shema. You shall observe. It's something to attend, something to do, to observe, to keep. Are you following what I'm saying? So when you see keep, it's not just talking about, it's not talking about keep as but begin to take care of whatever. It's something to attend to. Shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. The feast of unleavened bread. And that's the word Shema. Okay? For in this same self same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day. That's the word Shema appearing there in the Bible. Shout amen. In verse 25 of that same chapter, he said, it shall come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you according as he had promised that you shall keep this service. That's the word Shema, to keep service, to observe. 468 times it appeared in the Bible and all that. Now these words mean to serve and to attend to serve. So God was saying, in this garden, we have to serve and attend to something. I know what I'm talking about. We are going with this. So it was nothing about agriculture. It was nothing. And you notice this, not even this Genesis chapter 2 verse 15 is not even the only place Moses used those two words together. In his teaching ministry, he used those two words together a couple of times. I'll give you one example. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 4. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 4. So what is not the only place he said dress and keep? No. You shall walk after the Lord your God. Let me get it from here. Hallelujah. You shall walk after the Lord your God. Hold on, give me a minute. Okay. And fear him. And what? Talk about me. And what? That word fear is the word Yareh, but that's not what I'm looking for. Okay. Give me a minute. Everything is inside my notes. Yes. It's the word Yareh. So you shall fear him and keep his commandment. That's the word Shema. And obey his voice. And you shall serve him. That's the word Abad. So you see, Moses saying, dress and keep the keep. Using the same two words. He says, why is he reading serve here? That is reading dress. Is the translators that chose different words. But Moses was saying one thing. Shema and Abad. He used them together in Deuteronomy 13 and verse 4. Again, he used those two words together in Joshua 22 and verse 5. I will just stop it. with that, with the references now. Joshua 22 and verse 5. He said, but take diligent heed. Take diligent heed. That word heed there is the word shama. Take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandment and to cleave to him and to serve him abad. So many other times in the Bible, Moses used, and even Joshua, his successor, used dress and keep to teach Israel. But in all the other references, they never used it to teach them about agriculture. It was something they used to teach them about their relationship with God. What I'm trying to show you tonight, actually, is what the original plan of God is for everybody as far as work is concerned. What is the work God wanted Adam to be doing from the beginning? Is it farming? Is it agriculture? Is it medicine? Amen. Is it lawyering? What is it that God wanted him to do from the beginning? He wanted him to dress the garden and to keep it. But in all the references we've seen, nothing about agriculture. So what he was telling him is to serve the Lord. Attend to, go back to Genesis 2:15. He kept him in the garden to tend, or old King James would say, to dress and to keep. Now, do you know the amazing thing? I don't know if I should show you. Okay. The amazing thing is, are you here? In this Genesis 2:15, when he says dress, eat, that word eat has no meaning in the Hebrew. There is no word like that. The translators added it. It's not in the original. Check your concordance. Are you checking? Check your concordance. Check. Take your time. That word eat is not in the original. The word eat again that appeared after keep is not the original. Have you observed that? Let me give you just 3 minutes. You have your concordance. Look at it. If your neighbor has, look at it. Genesis 2:15, Hebrew concordance. Shout amen. Have you seen it? So what is the word for eat there? If you have your Hebrew concordance, you find out that after every word, you see a number. That when you click on that number, you see the word used. Did you observe that after that eat, there was no number there? It's not there in the original. The translator added it so that the flow of the text can make sense. So how this scripture actually appears is that the Lord God took man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress and to keep. Are you following me, friends? To dress and to keep. The translator said, well, since there's a garden of Eden, it should be, that's what they should be dressing and keeping. But the original says to dress and to keep. So to abad and to shama. To serve and to attend to. To serve and to observe. Are you what I'm talking about? So God created man for the purpose of serving and keeping, serving and attending, serving him, attending to him. But the way you see that word shama used is talking about he's talking about serving God or serving man. So the plan of God for man, the job description of God from the beginning, is to serve, to worship him. So the whole idea of job that God had for man revolved around his relationship with the man. So that he can serve him and keep him. Okay, let me explain something to you. Maybe this will make more sense now. Okay. Why you see, look at, have you seen trees? Rivers? Why were they created? Why did God create trees? Land? Sun, moon, why? The reason everything was created was because of man. That's why if you read the creation story, everything was created before man was created. Because man is the purpose of every other creation. Are you following? Man is the purpose of every... That's why you notice when he told him in Genesis 1:26, have dominion and all that, from 27:28, he began to tell him, you see, he gave him dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air. Because all those things were made for man. He even told him to eat of the fruit of the trees. Because man is the purpose of all those creations. All. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? Man is the purpose. Now, the question now is, why was man created? If everything was created because of man, why was man now created? You find out, and that's what I'm trying to show you, Genesis 2:15, that the reason man was created was because of God. So look how I put it. The whole creation, they were made for man. But man was made for God. Man is the purpose of the creations. God is the purpose of man. Man is the reason for the creation of trees and animals. Are you following me? I will explain this further tomorrow. Or somebody is going to say, if that's the truth, why do snakes bite man? I'll show you tomorrow. Why will dog pursue man that he was created? I thought man was created for these creations. Now dog is not pursuing me. Dog that they created because of me. I'll show you the reason tomorrow. But there's a reason actually in this same Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Are you still here? So man is the purpose for every creation. God is the purpose for the creation of man. That's why you realize when he created man, he wanted to make sure that man was his image. If they will come and commune with the man, because he is the reason he created man for himself. And so when he created that man, he said, your only job in this garden is to serve and to attend to me. Don't bother about cultivating. The trees will bear the fruit. You harvest and eat. Just serve me, attend to me. I'm showing you something. So in the original plan of God, God never planned that there will be doctors. Because sickness was never in the original creation. I follow what I'm talking about. God never planned that there will be lawyers. Because people were not meant to quarrel. Everybody was meant to have the life of God, loving everybody in peace and unity. See, I'm going to use a few minutes to challenge you on why on this earth you must carry ministry on your head. Because that was the original plan of God. I'm still showing in the Bible. Because without the fall, if there was no fall, your profession will not exist. Are you following everybody? If there was no fall, there will be no farmers. Hallelujah. Are you following me? In fact, if there was no fall, there will be no hunters. There will be no tailor. Okay, there will be no school. So there will be no school. That's why you're concerned about. So, you know, sometimes when I studied the original plan of God some years ago, it dawned on me that some of the things we are breaking our head for are just things that came because of the fall of man. I'm not against your profession, because I'll explain that tomorrow. We're already in a fallen world. There will be the redemption of the world later. I'll talk about that later. But until the redemption of the earth, rather. But until then, we need all these professions. But that cannot be all you are about. Because that was not even in the original plan. I get what I'm talking about. That's why you realize, if you study history very well, all these professions I'm mentioning, they evolved over time. Man began to learn medicine afresh. Did you observe that? Began to learn leaps. Man learned all these things. That's why you notice medicine has evolved from one level to another. At the time they say, oh, there's no cure for this. Later there will not be cure for it. Man has been learning over time. Because actually that was never in what the plan of God was, not that any man was going to fall sick. He planned to inhabit that man. And when God lifts the man, there should be no sickness in the man. So the plan of God from the onset, when he was done creating, a man said, so, sir, as you have put me here, what should I now be doing? Serve me. Observe my status. That's all. Let me show you something.
Do you know why in the Bible, when Moses finished dividing the land, he picked a particular tribe and gave them no land, gave them no inheritance, and ordered them not to walk? That's the tribe of Levi. So the Levites do not walk. Such a lazy tribe, it may seem. As a matter of fact, they have no farmland. A Levite cannot say, that's my land. No. He said, why? And this is an entire tribe. It's not like 10 people, an entire community. He said, nope, they should not have land. Just live here. They have a place where they are living. But oh, so what were they doing? Morning till night, they go to the temple, they are serving, making sacrifices. Moses was using those people to illustrate the original plan of God for the entire race. That all that man was to do is to get into the temple and serve God and keep his status. That's why he mentioned it to them in Exodus 19 verse 5. Put it up quickly. Exodus 19 verse 5. He mentioned it to them. Oh, glory to God. He said, and the Lord appointed 19, not 9 verse 5. 19 verse 5. And now therefore, if you obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Verse 6. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. So he was telling them the original plan of God is that the whole Israelites will be priests. So the original plan of God is not to have a tribe of Levi. Oh, are you getting the point? Is to have an entire kingdom where everybody is a priest. Priest talks about people that serve in the temple. So, but he used Levi to illustrate what God really wanted to do from the beginning. That man will sit in the temple, and in the temple, some were choristers, some were gatekeepers, some were, all of them are given responsibilities, and all they did was sing day and night. Another man that played a major role in teaching this was the man David. That's why when you read the Bible, you see the Bible, look for that verse for me, where the Bible says that the tabernacle of David will be restored. And let me explain. Oh, Kaborata la Kenda Vrata. Do you know what tabernacle of David is? David built a tabernacle where worship was happening 24 hours in 7 days for many years. Non-stop. Night, morning. People were worshiping for years until he died. That was something God was trying to show. That this is what God always wanted. That man will devote his whole life worshiping, serving. When I mean worshiping, I don't mean they were just singing. They will sing, they will offer sacrifices, they will pray, they will give thanks. There were gatekeepers, everybody was doing their work, and it happened consistently. He said, in that day, Amos 9 verse 11, I will raise up the tabernacle of it that is fallen. So there is a tabernacle that David raised, where worship and service of the Lord went on 24 hours in 7 days. So God was using David and God was using the tribe of Levi to point us to his original plan. The eternal priesthood of all saints. Where all saints will live all their life serving the Lord, observing, keeping, and worshiping. Are you getting the point? So what did God want Adam to do? Adam did not need to be a lawyer. Nobody was quarreling. Adam did not need to be a farmer. He didn't have to. I'll show that more tomorrow. There was no need. The trees were bearing fruit. He was eating. So what was Adam doing exactly? Oh, such a boring life. God said, I'm just going to create a being. Prepare everything for him. Keep him somewhere. Let him just be serving me. Now, look at where I'm going to with this. In the original plan of God for humanity, there is ministry. You see, that ministry even preceded the fall of man. So it's not because man fell that we are serving God. Even if man did not fall, all we would have done all our lives would be to serve him. So, there is a tribe. So the plan of God is in this garden, in this temple, man will serve, man will worship all days of their life. So Moses let us see that's what God actually wanted to do. Levi pointed to it.
of the tribe of Levi pointed to it when Moses said, okay, I will appoint a particular tribe and they will not cultivate. But I was thinking, why did that happen? He said, when you share land, don't give. He told them, say, I am your portion. He now told the other people, pay tithe. That's how the idea of tithe came. So that 10% of your earnings should go to the Levites so that they can use it, you know, and all that. But he was trying to show them that I'm trying to raise a people. So when Jesus now came, look at what Revelation said about Jesus. In Revelation 1 verse 5, put it up very quickly. Revelation 1 verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten from the dead, of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and had made us kings and priests. So Jesus now came and made all of us priests. What does that mean? It doesn't mean all of us will be wearing collar or will be preaching. All he says is that all of us have been brought into that original plan of God, where we can all live our lives doing our priestly service, serving the Lord and keeping his commandments. So in Jesus making all of us priests, he was returning us to what God always wanted from Genesis 2:15, that would tend and keep. Are you following me, friends? Let me say this to you very clearly. Everything Jesus did in redemption, that's why it's called redemption. It's not a new thing. It is what God has always wanted to do from the onset. So everything you see Jesus doing in redemption was trying to return man to what God always wanted to do. So the priesthood of all saints was God, was of all mankind, was God's plan from the onset. So he told Adam, first of all, he said, eat of the tree of life. When you are done eating of the tree of life, just stay in this garden, dress the garden, or dress and keep. Abad Shama. All days of your life. Let me ask you, I will touch this tomorrow. Oh, okay, leave that. Tomorrow is better. Because tomorrow is here. So, Romans 5, sorry, Revelation rather, 5 and verse 8. Revelation 5 and verse 8. It was just vision. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Verse 9, they sung a new song, okay, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, is that what I'm looking for? Okay, to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Verse 10, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Made also what God did for every believer. So when you became born again, God restored that original plan and made you a priest so that you can live all your life serving and keeping in the garden. So that garden is a symbol and a type of God's presence. So when a man gets saved, God brings him to the garden of Eden, his presence, and says, stay here, Abad Shama. Serve me all days of your life. Keep my steps all days of your life. That's all I want you to do. Are you following me, friends? Because I'm going to make you see ministry from a different light in a very short time. 1 Peter 2 and verse 4. 1 Peter 2 and verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Verse 5. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So Peter is saying, this is not Paul now, this is Peter. Peter is saying that all believers are built up as a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. All Peter was trying to say is that God is trying to get the believer to live by Genesis 2:15, to tend, to dress, and to keep, to serve the Lord. So what am I trying to say? We are all priests today. And the original plan of God is that we should all spend our lives serving the King. Now, this is why I say it all the time. Ministry, as you call it, is not actually something that is optional for a believer. It's not. It is God's original job description for you. This is why when we meet Jesus, you will not be judged according to how you did your job as an accountant. You will be judged according to how you did ministry. Because you'll be judged according to how you did what God has always intended that you should do all the days of your life.
Are you following everybody this evening? That's why when you meet Jesus, God will not say, "Were you a good cook?" No. Except that cooking you are doing is ministry. You know cooking can be part of ministry. Are you aware? Let me explain to you what ministry is. Ministry simply means service. Anything you do to serve the Lord and to serve his people is ministry. That's why, you see, I know that it's ministry because you should win the lost, and we teach that and emphasize that. But you see, never think that the usher that is cleaning the seats in church is not doing ministry. She will only be wrong if that's not what the Lord asked her to do. If she's faithful with that responsibility, she's serving the Lord. That's why serving the Lord and serving his people has always been his plan from the beginning. Think about this. You know, there are many things that came up after man fell. I've mentioned medicine. I've mentioned even engineering. The reason we need all these things. I can also tell you, the reason we even need AC. You know, we need AC inside this hall. It's because of the fall of man. It's not even hard. It's not a deep revelation. How many of you know, and I will explain that further tomorrow, that the fall of man affected this entire earth? The reason the earth began to decay is because man fell. I'll show you in the Bible, actually. And you know, okay, leave that tomorrow. So all of this, do you know that in the original earth God created, there was no rainfall? It's actually in that Bible that we read. The Bible said there was no rain on the earth. The Lord caused a mist to water the earth. None of this is happening was never in God's original plan. So you find out that almost all the struggles that happened on earth is because of that fall, which we're going to look at tomorrow. And I will show you God's plan towards the earth. Because God has a plan for the earth. Not just for you, I said for this earth. So all of this happening is because of the fall of man. Why did I mention that? It means that if man did not fall, we will not need engineers. So all this profession you are breaking your head about, trying to kill yourself, trying to say, "I'm not going to touch a girl, I'm going to do my..." It was never, if you are going back to Genesis, God never planned that. You know, his plan, work will just serve and keep regarding. Now, I am not saying you should not take your profession seriously. If that's what you are hearing, you've been lazy from day one. And you've just been lazy. Don't say, "I went to one church and they preached to us against walking." It's okay. You just be so broke. Very, very broke. Go and listen to my teaching on Prosperity Summit. So you learn that you should not be broke in life. You should walk. Take your work very seriously. But you must understand what priority is. You must understand what priority is. Everything in your life cannot have the same priority. It's wisdom. That same way, everybody in your life cannot have the same priority. There are some people that should matter more to you than others. It is just wisdom. If everybody matters to you the same way, you are foolish. I'm just telling you the truth. He said, "Why are we discriminating?" There is discrimination on earth. Everybody does not matter to me the same way. Not every woman matters to me like my mother. She's my mother. It's as simple as that. I have a wife. Yes. And as all as it may sound, I love every woman on earth, but I cannot and I should not love any woman like her. And no woman should be able to, I'm going somewhere, be able to matter to you like it matters to you. It's not because you are discriminating, it's the reality of life. That same way, everybody should not matter to you the same way. All this is to say everybody's equal. No, everybody's not equal in my life. Everybody's words do not carry the same weight in my life. Not every pastor's words does not carry the same weight in my life. So you think I just see a video on Facebook and say, "But the pastor said," I don't really care who is the pastor. With due respect to his anointing. That same way, you should realize that in life, every activity should not matter to you the same way. There is priority. The problem is that many of us don't understand the wisdom of priority. Every event should not matter the same way. You know, when I see people say things like, "There's evangelism in the evening in church, but sir, a friend of mine is doing birthday party," it doesn't sound well to me. It doesn't make any sense. Now, because of your level of maturity, I will permit you to go. But if I should tell you how I really feel in my heart, you don't have sense. Are you getting me? I'm just telling you for free. He says, Sasso, you should not go for better parties. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying every event cannot matter the same way. There is priority. There is priority. And you see how the world system functions. It's controlled by Babylon. That's why the world understands that the world is trying to make it look like the things you are doing, that you are very stupid. If in your workplace, you try to take permission that you have program for 4 days, you will not come. I almost know they will not permit you. But tell them that your younger sister is getting married, they will permit you. Somehow, this world do not rate what we rate. And we cannot be like them. If they don't value what we value, we cannot also be like them not to value what we value. And I don't blame them, they don't rate what we rate. Because they don't know what we know. They don't stand where we stand. They have not seen what we've seen in God's word. I will be so foolish to have the same priorities with people of the world. I know what my priority is. Money is not one. Let me tell you what the priority in life should be. Ministry should be first. You know the second one? Family. Everything should come second. Should come third. Ministry, family, every other thing. He says, so why family? Well, let's not get into that today. Because even family, when you're a mother or you're a father, and you're raising your kids, that you're also doing ministry. I showed you in the day how Lois and Eunice, do you remember that? Raised Timothy. They were serving the Lord. But because there is this distorted priority thing, someone can just say, you know, I've not been to church for the past 3 months. Say why? He say, you know, there was one contract we are pursuing. And it just makes sense to everybody. Somebody is asking me, without the fall of man, would we be coming to church? Don't you realize that even in the garden, when it was only Adam and Eve that were the audience, God was coming to commune with them. He was coming to talk to them, to teach them, to explain things to them. So there would have still been gathering of sense. Yeah. If there wouldn't have been gathering of sense, then Jesus would not come to establish a church. The reason he came to this is because in God's original plan, who was supposed to be meeting, God was coming. The day God found out that they had fallen, was yet another meeting he wanted to have with them. So meetings is in God's original plan. Our meetings. You must know what is first in your life. You must know what your responsibility is. You must know what your job description is. You must know what counts and what does not count. I'm not saying you should be a full-time pastor, a full-time minister. I'm saying whatever you are doing, set your priorities right. When God kept man in the garden, he didn't say make money. Are you getting what I'm talking about? He didn't say make money. He didn't say drive cars. But of course, because without the fall of man, we might not have needed cars. He didn't say drive cars. And we need them now. That's why we must have them now. Nothing wrong with having them. I get the point. But that's not what he wanted them to do. Say, sir, I'm thinking that the original plan that would have saved in cars, let's assume they are where. Or there would have been. Maybe, let me even say everything I'm saying is a lie. That there would have been doctors. But at least in Genesis 2, he never told them, treat the sick. And build airplanes. He said, tend and keep. So, in choosing your priority in life, you should know what is first. That's all I want to tell you tonight. You should know what is first. You should know what is second. You should know what is first. All these things that are pushing you to serve the Lord, pushing you to do ministry. Today you say you're no longer in the mood. Tomorrow you say you're still in the mood. That thing is in the original plan for your life. That's all the days of your life. You'll be serving. So, listen. It wasn't the death of Jesus that started ministry. Even before there was ever any fall. Okay, for instance, when we ask people to pray, do you know it wasn't the fall of God that necessitated prayer? Even before man fell, Man was praying. He was communing with God. That's prayer. So that's why when Jesus came, who never sinned, who never did whatever, he was praying. Because whether we had fallen or we did not fall, we would still be praying. Because we need to be communing with God. As a matter of fact, prayer and serving the Lord is the reason God even created us in the first place, to commune with us. So if you had met God, I say, what are you doing? He said, I'm making a man. He say, what kind of man? I'm making a man that will be like us. Okay? Which one is man? I've never seen that species. Say, yes, it's a new species, but when I'll make it, he will look like us. So why are you making him? He said, I'm making him because I want to communicate with him. I want to have a relationship with him. And I want him to interact with me. And I want him to serve me. I just want him to focus on me all the days of his life. I'm making a being that I will interact with. Say, oh, wow. So when you create that kind of being, and the person is doing every other thing apart from why he was created, that guy is malfunctioning. Listen. Ministry, serving the Lord, is not optional. It is your life. It's why you were even made in the first place. It is why God created you from the onset. Oh, glory. I want to pray with you, surely. But just one last scripture. I told you I'm not teaching for long tonight. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13. Oh, Marita Kumata. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, Solomon had finished writing Ecclesiastes. He said, let me conclude. Because Ecclesiastes, he was talking about life, how life vanity upon the earth, how he has made money. This is a man that has seen life and seen whatever there is. Seen ministry, seen life, seen women. He had 1,000 of them. Women. He had money. You know, when you hear that Solomon had 1,000 women, don't just go to the fact that he was a bad boy. Just see the fact that he was very rich. He had 1,000 women. All of them had their houses. Now, think about that. The man was wealthy. He has seen all these things. And he started shouting vanity upon vanity. And somebody is saying to Solomon, don't worry. After I see everything you've seen, I will now say vanity. Now, when Solomon was saying vanity upon vanity, if you read Proverbs, Solomon advocated that you must work and be hardworking. He preached diligence. So when he was saying vanity upon vanity, he's not saying that you don't need to have all those things. He never said that. Solomon was the one that said that a poor man's wisdom is regarded as foolishness because he doesn't have money. Solomon said. Solomon's not against having money. But when he said vanity, he's saying in comparison with the true essence of life, all these things are vanity. So after he finished writing, he now said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. Are you following me? I want to show you something. Fear God. Keep his commandment. I want to show you something. I've been touching a lot of Greek today. So let me touch it a little again. Oh, Meletoka Pratela Kambrada. Oh, you are glorious. So glorious in your ways. So glorious. He always. Okay, yes. You are glorious. You are glorious.
You are glorious. Yeah. So glorious in your ways.
Do you know? He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. See what I'm looking for. He said, fear God and keep. I wanted to confirm what I wanted to say now, and it's actually true. That word keep there is that same word, Shama, used in Genesis 2. He said, this is the whole duty of man. You know the amazing thing? If you look at this verse, that word duty is in italics. See, it was not there in the original. They just added it. But it's okay to add it. But look how it appeared in the original. For this is the whole of man. So the role of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's why at the end of the day, you are going to leave this earth and you're going to die. You might have had 15 children. None of them will matter. The Bible said in those days, when we will rise from the dead, that they will not marry, or neither will they be given in marriage. So your wife, married or not married, will not count. Children or no children will not count. You built their houses, you don't count them. All that will matter is, how well did you obey Genesis 2:15? How well did you walk in my original plan for your life? Remember, I said something yesterday. The fall of man changed many things. He changed the earth. He changed man, but he never changed God. The only thing the fall of man did not affect was God himself. He didn't change his original plan. He didn't change what he always had in mind. He always had in mind that man would be his image. He didn't change from it because man fell. He always planned that man would be in oneness with him. He didn't change because man fell. He just found a way to make it happen. He always planned that man will live in the garden, the presence of God, where he will serve and keep his commandments. He never changed that plan. So even though now God may want you to be a doctor or a teacher, but all that doctor and teacher thing, you must make way for the fulfillment of God's original plan for your life. Tomorrow I'm going to have kids. I will not try to interfere with anything they want to do. You want to be a doctor, it's fine. You want to be a footballer, it's fine. Anything you want to be, I'm not going to stop you. But where we will fight is where you say you will not do ministry. Because that's where I would have failed as a father. I get the point. I want to be an actor, actress. Your business, act. That's why you notice even in this church, as I father you in the Lord, you say you want to be whatever. I'm not going to stop you. I don't choose your course for you. I won't choose your work for you. I won't choose who you will marry for you. I won't choose anything for you. But the one where I will put my feet on the ground and say no to you is when you say you want to go and break. You want to say, put ministry on hold for some time. I will not say yes to you, sir. Because you are deviating from God's plan for your life. That thing, talking to you about taking all these ministry things easy, is actually lying to you. This is the whole of man. This is the whole essence of man. This is everything man was created to do. Young men and young women, listen to me. I know you are at a stage in your life where you need to make it financially. I know the pressure of trying to make it. And I love the fact that I have a church full of diligent people. You are working hard. You are pushing it. And God is blessing you. And I celebrate you for that. And I'm praying that God will bless more the works of your hand. And tomorrow and next, I'm going to have time to impact and speak over your business and over your finances. I understand all that you are passing through. I understand that you need to make it. But you see, there is something bigger. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he has. I understand that you need to make it. I understand you need to blow. I understand you need to get married. I have children. I have to give your children the best of life. And I stand with you on that you will make it. But realize that there is something, that is an original intention before God made you. Before there was ever any need to have professions. Before there was ever any need to have cars. Before there was ever any need for one to be rich and for another to be poor. Before that need ever arose, there was need for ministry. Men who will serve the Lord. You say, sir, what is serving the Lord? I tell you what it is. Whatever he tells you to do. What, build a relationship with Jesus. Talk with him. Serve the Lord. Serve in his church. Let him lead you. To some of you, he will ask you to lead churches. Maybe not many people. Actually, not many people. Okay? But some of you, he will lead you to serve. To serve on their ministry. To follow a ministry. To some others, he will lead you to be in the field. Whatever he says you should do. That is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. And even when, that's what I can tell you, want to serve God, it's very easy to serve God. It's very easy to do ministry. Have a relationship with God. Have a prayer life. Go to church. Be committed to a church. Serve the Lord in your church. And follow every other leading he puts in your heart from then. That's ministry. One day that leading could be your pastor says, I want to come plant a cell. You go do it. You're serving the Lord. That's why I want to close by showing you. They are not actually wasting your time or being stupid, because you are burning your whole life serving the Lord. You are walking in your Genesis. You are walking in the original plan of God for your life. You are obeying what God always wanted you to do. If I live all my life and die and not have anything, and I meet Jesus, but I've served him, no, he won't call me a failure. I will be called a failure if I meet him and not one soul with which to greet him. I'll be called a failure when I meet him, and in the plan he had for my life, he wanted me to do 100 things and I did only 2. I'll be called a failure if I meet him and I've deviated from Genesis 2:15. Some people started their life. You know the problem? Some people are living their Christian life from Genesis 3. What do you want now? Everything that happened in Genesis 1, Genesis 2, I want to be in the image of God. They don't care. I want to be one with God. They don't even have that reality at all. I want you to serve me, and they don't care. All they know is they start from chapter 3 when man had fallen. Thorns and thistles will the land give you. Suffer. So they are trying so hard to survive from Genesis 3. Where Jesus already did something that his intention and what he has done for us is to return us to that Genesis 1, Genesis 2 when there was no fall. Let me tell you, I will show you tomorrow. The reason we still have many problems in the world is because the earth has not been redeemed. For the new creation man, everything has happened to us. We've been restored to God's original plan. It's now for us to walk in them. So in the whole, I'm showing you something now, and I'll close with that. In the whole of Genesis 1 and 2, there were only 2 instructions God gave man. Number 1 is Genesis 2 verse 9. Eat of the tree of life. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What is the way to explain that? Believe in me. That's salvation. Number 2, tend and keep the garden. What is the way to explain that? Ministry. Are you following what I'm talking about? So the only 2 demands God placed on man after he created him is, put your faith in me and serve me on the days of your life. If you are not there, you are living outside the plan of God for your life. And so tonight I'm going to ask the Lord, and I've asked him already, to impact you and anoint you for service. That's why whenever we come to meetings and we're talking about impartation, God is excited to put fire into you, because he knows that that empowerment is setting you up to do what he has always wanted you to do from the beginning. And tonight, in the next 20 minutes, something is going to erupt here. For men and women that will say to the Lord, thank you for showing me this. Some of you, you are not even doing anything to serve God. You just, they live your life, they go. Repent today. Stop doing ministry and serving the Lord as if you have an option. You don't have an option. Stop doing it as if that is plan B. This is plan A. And some of you that have been serving the Lord, you're going to say to the Lord, I want to get better. I want to go further. I want to do all you've asked me to do. I want you to put your fire upon me. I want to ignite your fire in my heart so that I can do all that you want me to do. I know I'm going to succeed. But listen to me. Any success, you need to understand God's original plan. Any success on earth, now hear this clearly and write it so you don't forget it. Any success or achievement on earth that did not aid or does not aid the original plan of God for your life is failure. Look at what I mean. If you have money and that money did not push the gospel forward, you have nonsense, useless, stupid money that you don't need. If your marriage will not be for the furtherance of the gospel, you married a stupid marriage, and that marriage is not necessary in the first place. If you are here on wedding day, so the charge that they gave that day, Pastor Casey was reading, you see what he said, that God established marriage for 3 purposes. The first thing is for ministry, that the man and the woman may start love together. That's the purpose of marriage in the first place. So you marry and your marriage stopped from the ministry. You married nonsense marriage, and I'm sorry, but that's rubbish. You didn't marry. Let me put it this way. You should have married in the first place. If you become rich and your wealth will take you from serving God, I pray you remain poor, because you don't need that money. And I'm not cursing you, I'm blessing you. Because whatever that will take you away from serving the Lord is not necessary for you. Let every achievement, every milestone you cross in life, let it be pushing towards the furtherance of the gospel. That tomorrow you're going to graduate and you're going to come out with a first class. And that first class will now form a platform for you to talk to men about the gospel. That when they say, how did you get here? You say, there is a God in heaven. That is the spirit in man, the breath of the Almighty, that gives him understanding. And I want you to know that if you believe in him, your life is going to change. So that when you are asking the Lord for things, the motivation behind asking the Lord for things will be him. Ah, you didn't hear what I said. That the motivation for wanting things should be him. That's one of the things that I pray for marriage. There's nothing wrong to pray for marriage, to get married. But on top of your list should be, Father, give me somebody that will serve you together. Someone that will serve you together. Someone that will enhance my service of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about somebody that I love, someone that loves me. Don't marry stupidly. That's why I say to you, unapologetically, because I know if they put this on Facebook, they're going to drag here, pastors like to control people. Hear me very loud and clear. There are some jobs that you don't need, no matter how much they're paid. Since you got that job, your prayer life has traveled. Coming to church is not once in a while. And something is not telling you something is off. The devil will rather that they're increasing your salary in that job, so you can keep it. Hear me. Trust God for the best. The best exists. There are doctors who are in active service but are serving the Lord fully. I'm not saying you cannot be a doctor. There are lawyers in active service. One of the mentors that I look at his work sometimes is Colonel Moyo. Colonel Moyo, you know Moyo? He's not a colonel now. He's a major general now in the army. Full-time minister of Allah Jesus Christ is a major general in the army. So who says there is something you are doing and you cannot burn up for Jesus? I'm talking about a lead pastor of a ministry, a major in the army, major general. I've showed you in the Bible that when you see names like, who is the other one that was Erastus, the city treasurer. Yet, I showed you in the Bible that Paul was sending him on mission work. Someone that assumed the position of a CBN governor of a state. He was going on mission works. You must know what your priority is. And set it right. So when the devil tries to make you feel, if you lose this job, you will never get another one. That's even a very big lie. You can earn well, be rich, and serve the Lord. One day we are going to meet Jesus. What are we going to present to him? He's not going to judge us based on another thing. He will judge us based on Genesis 2:15. He will judge us based on Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Coming from Solomon, who has seen wealth, who has seen power. You know, they say there are three major things that men need and women also need. Some say it's four. Solomon had all. Wealth, power, women, fame. He had all in abundance. And when he finished, he said, this is my own conclusion. My last statement before I die. Fear God. Keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. This is all that matters to you. You see what God did for Solomon? When God asked Solomon, what do you want? Ask for one thing. Solomon said, give me wisdom. And the Lord said to him, because you've not asked for anything. I was looking at that statement recently. But because you asked for wisdom to lead my people. It's not that I asked for wisdom that moved God. He was asking for wisdom for ministry. So God said, oh, I gave an opportunity to ask for one thing. And what you're asking me is to give you wisdom to do my work that I gave you. He said, because of that, cars, wealth will be yours. Because if you are asking for wisdom for ministry, it means if I give you money, you will still use it for ministry. Fear God. Keep His commandments. This is why we live. This is why we exist. Let me close by saying to you, stop being a part-time Christian. Okay? Don't be a woke Christian. Sleep. If being woke is this nonsense you are doing, if being woke is living like the world, don't you ever wake up. Be an old-time Christian. Serve the Lord with everything in you. Burn out for Him. I've been teaching this all the while, but today I've also shown you that from the onset, God never committed the responsibility to man. He said, number one, eat of the tree of life, fruit. Tend and keep the garden, ministry. Lift your hands. I want to now on to the Lamb upon the throne. We raise a sound. We raise a sound. For He is God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let me say this to you. I don't want you to serve God in a very woke way. I want you to serve God in a very unwoke way. You know, there's a song that people that's been reading. I have nothing against the song. Say that God is raising fine boys that like Jesus. I have nothing against it. But I hope what you are saying is not people that will be doing gayoyo and be serving Jesus. That's not what Jesus wants. Serve God with the whole of your being. Are you getting the point? Listen, you should be finding a way to make room for other things in your life and not finding a way to make room for ministry in your life. Do you know what I say now? Stop looking for a way. Don't fill up your schedule. You are, we are trying to include serving God. Say we go see serve God. Stop serving God in a shy way. Fear God and keep His commandment. That is the whole duty of man. Whole duty of man. Whole duty of man. Will we raise a sound? Unto the Lamb upon the throne. Sing it over the throne.
Unto the Lamb upon the throne.
We raise a sound.
We raise a sound.
We raise a sound.
We raise a sound.
For He is God and God alone.
For He is God and God alone.
Put a thought in my heart. He said, as a pastor, I don't know if you didn't say what I'm saying. Churches have crisis. It can happen. Should the church have a crisis and the members drop from 100 to 5, that pastor has not failed. Should they be talking about the pastor all over the world, he has not failed. He will fail the day he stops. Because when God will want to reward, God will not reward the size of His work. God will reward the faithfulness of His heart. So when I tell you we are not going to fail, I'm not actually talking about that our church will be big. Yes, it will be big. I'm telling you that I will never stop. Serve the Lord. Let every other thing come second in your life. Let everything come second in your life. For he is God alone. Let's sing together. Come on, church.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Lamb upon the throne. Come on, sing it again.
Down to the Lamb upon the throne.
He
raised the sound. He raised the
to pray. There are new assignments. Some of you, the Lord is reminding you of your assignments, new assignments, new responsibilities. Renewal of passion, renewal of zeal, fresh passion, fresh commitments. Our life will only count when we are living according to the original plan of God. Why have you been distracting yourself? Why have you been slowing down? Why are you trying to put God by the side? This is the whole of man, the whole duty of man. Christians, arise. Christians, arise. Christians, arise. Image of God, arise. Elena Maradaba Shata. All you need to be saying, what would you have me do, Lord Jesus? I'm ready. I'm willing. Your excuses are not enough, sir. Your excuses are not enough. Your excuses are not enough, ma. I hope you're praying. We have 5 minutes. But God is lighting a fire in your heart. God is lighting a fire in your heart. Some of you, that fire is in instructions. Some of you, I heard the Lord say, it is in consolidation of instructions. Some of you already know what to do, but God is assuring you afresh. Get back on your feet, child of God. Your tomorrow should be more better than yesterday. You should be more passionate than you are yesterday. Get back on your feet. Get back on your feet. Get back on your feet. The Lord is calling you. You can sense this in your heart. You can feel it strongly in your heart. That God is saying it's time again. Lift your hands all over this place.
As long as I am breathing,
I will always worship you.
Lord, hear me, 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 L
do. Him him come din do. Jehovah mo.
Him him come din do.
Agame jere gozi.
Onye
we. I shall give you this. If you give me a life, I will serve you. Besides that, when we are young, and we meant it. I don't know about that, but I meant it. Once you give me life, I will serve you. Father, as many are saying that to you, put a fire on their lives now. Set them up for this. At the count of seven, we have 3 minutes. At the count of seven, as many that are saying to you, Jesus, I want to burn for you. If you will anoint me, anoint them, steer them up, impart them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let hungry hearts come in, cut out the power of God now. 6 and number 7. Take if your hand is hungry. Fire is dropping into your hand. Impartation is taking place. The power of God is sweeping through this place for many hungry hearts. Look at that. It's very strong. It's very strong. There are feet on fire. There are hands on fire. There are tongues on fire. There are bodies on fire. Thou power of God, in the name of Jesus, move through this place. We have no laying of hands tonight. No laying of hands tonight. It will just be God touching people as it's stirring fire in their hearts. I have 1 more minute and I will give instructions and I will go. Father, let this impartation meet ready hearts. Let it meet ready hearts. Let it meet ready hearts. At the count of 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Receive it. Take all about this place. I'm not praying again. It should be full of people one by one. One by one. I'm not praying again. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. At the back, look at that. In the middle, look at that. In front here, look at the power of God. Hungry hearts. Hungry hearts. Hungry hearts. Hungry hearts. Hungry hearts. Hungry hearts. The rise of a generation. The rise of a generation. Dead passions coming alive. Dead passions coming alive. Tired hands made strong. People have strengthened. Bring it up. People have strengthened. I'm just going to be doing this song for the next 30 seconds and I'll let the power of God move here. Hey, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds. The king is coming. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna Bugole. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hosanna Bukole. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hosanna Limambo. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hosanna Bukole. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Well, everything is not fine. Hosanna Bukole. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hosanna Bukole. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Even if things are not working well, Hosanna Nimambo. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna when everything is not fine. Oh. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna when the members are not coming. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna when rebellion happens. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna when I have no eating in the night. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna when my feet is not paid yet. Oh. Hallelujah. Hosanna. I say Hosanna. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna when the psalm not making sense. Oh. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna when I lose all my friends. Oh. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna when all my friends abandon me. Oh. Hallelujah. Hosanna. My song is Hosanna. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Until Jesus comes, Hosanna, Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hosanna, higher. When my business is not moving well, Hosanna, Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hosanna, Akalataya. Even when I'm missing, that devil wants me to stop. Hosanna, Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hosanna, Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hosanna, Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hosanna, Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hosanna when the members are not coming. Oh. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hey. Hosanna when everything is not making sense. Oh. Hallelujah. Hosanna. My forever song. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna when all my friends abandon me. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hosanna forever. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hosanna forever. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hosanna, when my business is not moving well, and the devil expects me to stop serving God. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hosanna, now hear what the Lord said I should say before I leave. The Lord said, warn them about the cares of this world. It will come. You will need money. You will need things that you might not have at the moment. You will need admission that will not be present. You may lose this. There will be the cares of this world. But never forget that there is one goal, there is one purpose, there is one aim. Everything may fall apart. Make sure that particular one thing does not fall apart. And that's the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let them say you failed in every other thing, but not in serving the King. And you know the thing, you won't even fail in other things. Because seeking first, the Bible says, the kingdom and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Fear God, keep his commandments. Don't follow and don't fall for the cares of this world.
for surely it will come.
Hosanna bukole o. Hallelujah Hosanna. Hosanna bukole.
When the money is not there yet, so should still be
Hosanna forever. Hallelujah Hosanna. Hosanna forever. Hallelujah Hosanna. Hosanna limam. Hallelujah Hosanna. Hosanna bukole.
When the puzzle is not puzzling,
Hosanna forever. Hallelujah Hosanna. Hosanna bukole. Hallelujah Hosanna.
When you are getting to 38 and there is no marriage yet,
Hosanna forever. Hallelujah Hosanna. Hosanna bukole.
Hey Karada, Eleba, because you know what? Everything the devil is doing in your life, it might look like he's doing many things, but he's doing one thing. He's just attacking that original plan. He's attacking Genesis 2:15. He's trying to stop you from serving and from following. He tried to attack Genesis 2:9 to stop you from eating of the tree of life, but you've conquered that one. He's trying to stop you from doing all that God has asked you to do. That's sometimes he tries to mess your life up. But whatever he says,
you say Hosanna bukole. Hallelujah Hosanna.
Hey Karata,
Hosanna bukole.
Lift your hands all over this place.
Hosanna forever. Hallelujah Hosanna.
My song is
Hosanna bukole.
Many that desire what God has put upon my life because they want to fulfill their ministry. Where you are standing, Father, as you did for Moses, you took a portion of him and shared to 70 men. Take a part from this anointing and put on men at the count of 10. Number 1, number 2, number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Receive it. Hey Amara, hey Arada, la basha bala da bara dele koya, ela da 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 bara da basha da. Hallelujah. God bless you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.